Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the special Friday feature of reading to children. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, you should have known I was going to bring back the reading hour. It's very vital that we are true to our name. We are the Care to Read Room, and we're going to live up to that literacy agreement that we had to always be teaching and making sure that we're making people literate. Today, I have a special guest that dropped by to read a few books with me, and I will be reading to you from several books today. Now, we have a two-part show. The first part is our session where we read books, and the second part, we're going to talk about a very, very important topic. Now, I have a guest here I'd like to introduce you to, and his name is Landon Otter. Can you say hello to the audience?
Hello.
Thank you so much. And Landon's going to be helping us to read our books, and then he's going to have to excuse himself because he has other commitments. Our first book, ladies and gentlemen, that we'll be reading to you is called Colors Around Us. We're going to be talking a little bit about the four cycles of reading. There are four cycles of reading for the preschool teacher to adhere to, and we make sure that we read for interest, we read for understanding, we read for clarity, but most of all, we read for entertainment. Today, we're going to be looking at how children can read for entertainment as well as understanding. So we've chosen two very, very important books that children like to read. And the story that we're going to be reading to you, secondly, is called Woof, and it's by Becky Bloom, illustrated by Pascal Blurt. Now, let me ask Landon if he can show us where the front of the book is. Landon, can you show us where the front of the book is?
Yes.
Where is the front of the book? Point to it for me, please.
The boy is there.
Thank you so much. It's very important that you should understand that the book has a front and a
back.
And a back. Very good. It has an author and a illustrator. Very good. All right. Now, Landon is going to help me read Colors Around Us, and he knows this book very well. So let's get started. Colors Around Us. This book is illustrated by Eugene and Evelyn Winslow and illustrated by Sherman Beck. Very old African-American book. This is an infusion book, and I love the way they infuse our skin tones. Some people are black like
Ebony Wood.
Very good. I'll turn the page. Some people are brown like chocolate
cake.
Very good. You know this book. Some people are light brown, like roasted
turkey.
Roasted turkey. Some people are dark brown, like strong
coffee.
Coffee. Very good. Some people are dark, like licorice.
Licorice.
Very good. I see I can't fool you. Some people are white like vanilla.
Vanilla ice cream.
Vanilla ice cream. Excellent. Some people are yellow like a ripe
pear.
Pear. That's right. Some people are red like a cinnamon.
Cinnamon roll.
Cinnamon roll. Excellent, Landon. Some people are brown like a copper.
Copper penny.
Very good. Copper penny. Some people are beige like baked.
Cookies.
Very good. Some people are tan like.
Peanut butter.
Peanut butter, very good. You remember this time. Some people are pink like
bubblegum.
That seems to be one of your favorite. Now, what was your favorite part about this book? Did you like the bubblegum?
Yes.
Did you like the chocolate cake?
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Landon helping me out with that book. Thank you so much, Landon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Landon.
Yes, I
would. All right, thank you. Now, this story we're about to read is called Woof by Becky Bloom and illustrated by Pascal Blake. This is one of Landon's favorite books. Now, I'm going to put on characters, expressions with this book. I'm going to change my voice, and I will assume the role. And this book, once again, is called Woof. After walking for many days, a wolf wandered into a quiet town. He was tired and hungry. His feet ached. He had only a little money that he kept for emergencies. Then he remembered, there's a farm outside of this village, he thought. I'll find some food there. So wouldn't you know it, he went to the village. As he peered over the left leg of the farm fence, he saw a pig, a duck, a cow reading in the sun. The wolf had never seen animals read before. I'm so hungry that my eyes are playing tricks on me. Are they really reading? He said to himself, but he really was very hungry and didn't stop to think about it for long. The wolf stood up tall, took a deep breath, and he leaped at the animals with a howl. Wow! Chicken, rabbit ran for their lives, but the duck, the pig, and the cow didn't budge. What is that awful noise? Complained the cow. What is that awful noise? I can't concentrate on my book. Just ignore it, said the duck. Just ignore him. He's just trying to scare us. The wolf did not like to be ignored. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong with you? Growled the wolf. What is wrong with you? Cried the pig. I can't see. Can't you see that I'm a big, bad, dangerous wolf? You wouldn't be afraid of me? I'm sure you are, replied the pig. I'm sure you are. But couldn't you be big and dangerous somewhere else? We're trying to raid around here. This is a farm for educated animals. This is a farm for educated animals. Now be a good wolf and go away, said the pig, giving him a push. Get out of here. We have to listen to the story. The wolf had never been treated like this before. Educated animals? What do you mean, educated animals? They gotta be kidding. The wolf repeated to himself. This is something new to me. Well, then, I'll learn how to read, too. And off he went to school. The children found it strange to have a wolf in their class. But since he had to try to eat, anyone, and he wasn't trying to hurt anyone, they soon got used to him being in the classroom. The wolf was serious and hardworking. Hardworking, just like Leonard, right, Leonard? Yes. And afterwards, much effort, he learned to read and write. Soon he became the best student in the classroom, and the teacher was very proud of him. Feeling quite satisfied, the wolf went back to the farm and jumped over the fence once again. I'll show them, he thought. He opened his book and began to read. Run, wolf, run. Run, wolf, run. See, wolf, run. You've got a long way to go, said the duck, without even bothering to look up. You just got a long way to go. You're not ready yet. And the pig and the duck and the cow went on reading their very own books, not the least impressed with wolf's reading. Wolf said, well, I guess I have to go back to school to learn some more words. Wolf jumped back over the fence and ran straight to the public library. He studied long and hard, reading lots of dusty old books, and he practiced and practiced until he could read without stopping. They'll be impressed with my reading now. I know they will. He said, I'm sure they'll be impressed with me because I am reading much better now. So he went back to the fence once again. The wolf walked up to the farm gate and knocked. He opened the door, and the three little pigs began to read. And he started reading his book. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs, and one day their mother called them out to play. Stop that racket, interrupted Duck. You better stop that racket. Just stop it right now. You haven't improved that much, remarked the pig. You still need to work on your style. Get your style together and go back and do some more reading. The wolf tucked his tail between his legs and slugged himself and dragged himself away, feeling kind of sad. But the wolf wasn't about to give up. He counted the little money he had left, went to the bookstore, and bought a splendid new storybook, his first very own book. He was going to read it day and night, every letter, every line. He would read it so well that the farm animals would admire him. He went right in, and he started reading. Ding dong, ring, the wolf at the farm gate. He laid down on the grass, made himself a comfortable spot, took out his new book, and began to read. He read with confidence and passion. The pig and the pig and the cow and the duck all listened and said not one word. Each time he finished the story, the pig, the duck, the cow asked if he could please read it another. Read another. Read another. Come on, wolf. Please, read another one. It's great. Your reading was better. Come on, pig. Come on, wolf. Read another one. Come on, please, please. They beg of him. Cow said, come on, wolf. Read another story. We want to hear something else. You're reading very good. We're glad about your reading. So the wolf read on story after story. One minute he was Little Red Riding Hood. The next, a genie emerging from a lamp. And then a swashbuckle pirate. This is so much fun, said the duck. It's so much fun. I am just really getting into this. He's a master. He's a master, said the pig. He's a master. Why don't you join us on our picnic today? Offered the cow. Come on and join us. We love to have you. You've been reading so good, we might want to be your friends now. And so they all had a picnic. The pig, the duck, the cow, and the wolf. They laid in the tall grass and told story after story all afternoon long. We should all be storytellers, said the cow. We should all be storytellers because we're so good. We could travel around the world, said the duck. We really could travel around the world. We can start tomorrow morning, said the pig. Come on, let's get ready. The wolf stretched in the grass, and he was so happy. We can all be storytellers because we are so great. We are good at this. We should all be storytellers. And they went off, these storytellers. And from then on, there was never a boring day in the pig, the duck, and the cow, and now the wolf, who was their friend. There was never a boring day. Landon, did you like that book?
Yeah, I
like
that book too.
Landon, did you like that book?
I like that book too. I was empty. I was little.
Who was your favorite animal? Who was your favorite animal? Was it the duck, the wolf, or the cow?
Cow was empty. Any that buck and everything the mother was to know.
Now, do you think it's important for children to go and learn to read like wolf?
The wolf is scary. We need to bring the like the way we call all stuff that wolf in the book is.
Do you think it's important for you to learn how to read?
I don't read it was my book.
Okay. Now, you're giving me a lot of words, just one word. Do you think it's important for children to read for interest?
Interest shows and then for the animals.
Do you think it's important for them to read for understanding, yes or no?
Yes, but then it's interest.
Now, if I asked you what was your favorite book, what would you tell me? Do you have a favorite book? What's the name of your favorite book? Your favorite book is called what?
The favorite book is called, you know, Rolling Like Me.
Rolling Like Me?
Rolling Like Me.
Rolling Like Me? Is that your favorite book? No. Well, maybe we have a little time. I can read that to you. And this is by Anne Rockwell, Growing Like Me. Holly, who, we have an illustrator. What does the illustrator do? Write the book or paint the story?
Oh, you're not taking
it. Illustrate and draw the pictures?
Draw the pictures.
Okay, let's read this, Growing Like Me. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to read one more book because this is Landon's favorite. And we want to make sure we get his favorite in. Landon, can you help us turn the page? Okay. All right, here we go. Here we go. Can you say here we go?
Here we go. Let's see. What's her name?
Here we go. What's
her name?
Growing Like. Growing Like.
Growing Like. Growing Like Me.
All right. Let's read it. Here in the meadows by the woods and the pool. Can you turn the page for me? Can you turn the page? Growing Like Me. White blossoms. What's your favorite part? Growing into berries black and juicy. Blue eggs and... Have you ever seen any blue eggs before? Okay. Now, why don't you tell me about this story? I want you to tell me. All right. Tell us about the story.
Story. Say it. Every story.
Who was that?
Shut up. Back up, paddle.
Okay. Turn the page.
Yes.
Okay. Now, can you tell us anything else about the story besides the caterpillars? What else was in the story? There were white what?
Blossoms.
And blue?
Egg.
Blue egg? Okay. And a caterpillar. What is a caterpillar turn into? It turns into a what?
Butterfly.
Very good. And what about these little polywogs? What do they turn into? So the little wigglywogs?
The polywogs.
What do they turn into?
to the water. Frogs.
Frogs. Okay, and the baby ducks turn into what?
Geese.
Okay. All right. Very good. Now the tree, can you tell us about that tree? What's going on with that tree? It's sprouting?
It's sprouting. Yes.
And the tree is stretching its arms up to the top, right?
To the top?
Yes. Okay. Now, and the end of the story says that you can grow just like who?
Definitely.
All right. Thank you so much, Landon. Are you going to excuse yourself now?
Yes.
Okay, what are you going to be doing this afternoon? You're going to be doing what?
Patience.
Okay, I'm going to excuse you. Thank you so very much for helping us today. And ladies and gentlemen, that was Landon, who was our guest today, and he helped us out a lot. He's going to go over to his little drawing table now. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's important that you take time out to read to your children. And I don't just say that just so I can get you all excited, but I need to demonstrate that periodically and show you what it's like to work with children who are just getting familiar with text. Well, now, Leonard is not reading yet, and nor is he phonetically blending, but he's learning consonants, he's learning vowels, and he's learning about high-frequency words. So some of the words he can identify. But the main thing I wanted to do was get him interested in literature and read for fun, not for breaking down words, not for enunciating, not for creating a list of syllables or high-frequency words or consonants and vowels, but to get interested in the plot of the story. Once you get the child interested in good books, and they know what a good book consists of, they will always want to read, and you'll build a lifelong desire for reading. Now, this room is called Care to Read because our whole mission was to go out to teachers and to employ them to start making their classroom literacy enriched. What do I mean by that? I mean that you go out and get print that will be posters to go on the wall, and you have plenty of materials in your classroom, such as books, magazines, and in your home. When you make a classroom or home literacy enriched, you intrigue a child, and you can induce the knowledge and the desire that's already there. And most children have a desire to learn to read, but you have to induce that knowledge by drawing it out. And that's what we've done today. We've attempted to induce the knowledge and to make a young person interested in engaging in reading. And for you teachers that are going to the library, why not go to some of these stores and sales and purchase your book and own the rights to your book so you can lend them out to your children in a classroom? You must have a plethora of books of your own, not just books from the library. You must own books. And when you own books, you must tell children that they can travel and they can take trips with books and they can actually experience that experience away from home. But also take field trips and let your books be centered around field trips and using those books as a thematic place where you're drawing from your subject and your topic for that particular unit or that particular year. Most teachers use a book of the week. Now, that book you heard about, Wolf, was our book of the week. We've read that book every day this week, and Friday I thought we'd introduce it to you. And because Landon had seen that book every day this week, it became so familiar to him that he was able to sit still and listen to it. Children become fidgety when they're not sure of what's going to happen. They become very engaged in their own activities unless you engage them in yours. So we want to ask the question again, are you reading? Would you care to read? Would you care to have a story on Friday? Would you like me to stop from all of my lecturing and interviewing throughout the week and set something aside on Friday just for a children's hour? I think it's important and it's appropriate. So periodically, if time will permit, and I cannot commit to it, I have my regular day on Tuesday, but if time will permit, We will try to bring you a story. And it's very, very exciting to read from a perspective of a child and change your voice and have various different characters that you you take on, because children want you to take on the actual expression of the book. And it's very vital that you should understand that you have to do that. Now, we're going to go to station identification, and we'll be right back at you in the atmosphere. And we want to call those teachers into the room to get ready for our next subject, and we're going to be talking about consumer science and education and how to bring about those 9 industries so we can help our youth find employment. Inviting you for our second half of the show, and we're talking about building partnership with education, business, industry, and the community. In other words, we're talking about how to build an advisory committee that will focus in on creating our community of consumer science and education. Hold tight for 1 second. We'll be right back.
Well, Mother is a message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Back. Thank you so much for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You've got the Care to Read Room. I am your Empress. I am your advisor. And I am your Molly Wah. I'm here to serve you. Once again, this is our Friday show on a special this evening where we brought you the segment on reading. And we're going to be talking this afternoon about building partnership, education, business, industry, and the community. And this is all pertaining to consumers, family and consumer science, better known as home economics. We have brought you something that's very, very important that you should know about. There are 9 industries that come out of the field of consumer science. That means that there are 9 areas that we can educate our youngsters to about being skilled in a pathway of education so that they can find employment. Now, it's very vital that you should know that home economics is not depleted on the curriculum roster, and some school districts need to seriously think about having an advisory committee so that they can govern that community to bring back home economics in the classroom so that young people will know the art of using textiles and sewing and even being able to make garments, as well as understanding foods and nutrition, dietitian, as well as learning hospitality and how to furnish and use hospitality. It's very vital that they should understand that there's child development within the consumer science where they can learn to either be an assistant teacher or a head teacher or maybe even own the family child care center. These are jobs that we have forgotten about that can be preparations and prepared during middle school and high school. Students first start taking family and consumer science when they're in middle school. Now, they're even looking at introducing it to the elementary school segment. But it's very vital that you should know we need functions for the Consumer Family Science Committee. Now, what are some of the duties that a general committee would acquaint themselves to? They would obtain information, help the community to update with information about economics, home economic careers, technology, including both consumer and family studies. And that is what is really missing in our society. We do not have a family study committee where we can study what is happening to the family and we can rescue the family by bringing in experts to address our forever more needed area of family and consumer science. Now, teachers, you can act as coordinators as well. And we have a function. And for those few home ec teachers who are still there, we can help you. You don't have to be an expert in all those areas. We can help you by bringing in the community and experts in the community to talk to your classrooms about the needs of employment and what they can be preparing themselves for. In these home ec classrooms, they're not just shaking it and baking it, shaking it up over here, baking it over there. They're not just in the kitchen cooking, but they are doing other things like learning consumer budgetry, how to budget and balance the checkbook. It's very vital that we should understand that these HERO programs offer programs in home economics that will allow the students to be placed in internship. Now, HERO stands for home economics and your related occupations. And these are occupations in a community like fashion and design that most of these young people are off into when they work at the mall. They don't realize that that skill that they got from their family and consumer science class might have prepared them for that particular pathway for employment. They can be geared towards going into college. They don't have to just stop there. They can go to higher level education and major in these areas of expertise. But it's very vital that we should have a committee that works in a community to make sure that our vanishing subject of home economics doesn't perish in the community. This is where we gain our jobs from. We prepare our students right there in high school. They sign up for a family child care course. They sign up for a nutrition class. They sign up for a dietary class, hospitality class. All of these classes would be a pathway into a career or a profession. And there are 9 of them. So it's very vital that you know that we still have careers and professions that can be cultivated that have not left and gone overseas. We're still using dietitians last time I checked, and there's still a need for them. There's still a need for food processing and furnishing and hospitality. Now, in the way of child development, that is an area I can speak to. There are many young children that are getting their CDA while they're still yet in high school. And once they get that CDA, that's a preparation that will help guide them into a position in the workforce, either as a head teacher or as an assistant teacher or possibly as a director. So they can practice right there in their high school of running a child care center. And most fully equipped programs, they offer a child development center right there in the high school where they're running their very own daycare. And they don't have to go out in the community specifically. They can work right in the community there and gain all the knowledge that they want about child development and take the exam to become certified as a CDA candidate, child development associate. That is a CDA credential that's equivalent to a diploma. So we can prepare these young people better so that when they come out of these technical programs, they can be ready to transition right into the workforce. Now, the reason why I'm pleading with you about these advisory committees, they need to be set up. And I'm not just talking about they need to be set up. We need to have news release going out about the vanishing discipline of family and consumer science. Where is it? Where has it gone to? And why are they only out in the suburban schools? Why is the suburban schools the only one cooking these days? What's up? What's cooking in the African-American community? What's cooking in the urban settings? Nothing. The home economic classes are shut down. At the most, there are probably one at the high school. But most of them are shut down, literally, at the middle school level. So what does that tell you? That tells you that these young people who are making babies and having babies are not taking parenting classes. They're not taking sex education. Because if they were, they would understand that the first 5 years of your life, you do not want to appropriate. You want to build your brain so that your neurological ability to produce children will produce adequate children and not children that are imbecile and not children that are they have autism and not children that are infected because they have not had a parent that has a solid, strong brain. And the way your brain gets solid and strong, you must infuse it with information. So these young people must be in these parenting classes. They must be in these child development classes. They must be in these nutrition classes because these are the tools and the foundation for building good families. What is wrong with us? Have we not forgotten? You cannot build a good family and a structure of a good family without having these children in these classes. How do you expect for them to learn about this through osmosis? Well, mama's not home anymore. There's no village there, so quit talking about the village. You've scattered the people in the village, and there's no village there. And as I've said many times, it takes a parent to raise up a village, and if you don't have a village, you can't begin to teach a young person about what it is they need to do to carry out the instructions of a family. So what about home economics? What about family and consumer science? It is a much-needed discipline. I know this. I went through it. I saw all the benefits it offered for me. It offered opportunities to go into science, to learn about allied health, to work in a capacity of neonatal and pediatric, and to have a background knowledge of chemistry, science, anatomy, physiology. It offers those things as a path if you choose to go down the allied health path. It also offers not only how to lay out a pattern and how to be able to draft up a pattern and make adaptation, it also offers an opportunity for your young people to be able to understand about hospitality. How do you arrange for hospitality? And if you wanted to work in any type of hotel, it offered to you an opportunity to work in the capacity of hospitality and in the capacity of finding out what it was that your community needed. Now, what I'd like to say is this. If we're ever going to get ahead, we must look at the other nations. Other nations are working very, very hard to make sure that their people are family-oriented. Most major Fortune 500 companies are hell-bound set on family-oriented programs and structuring their programs so that they're family-oriented. We are the only ones think we do not need family. Hold tight. Hold tight. We're going to go to commercial for 1 minute. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm employing all of the districts and all of the schools to look at having committees that will be advisory committees to oversee our existing home economics department or family and consumer science to make sure that there's a partnership from the community's perspective, that we're offering them places of employment that they can send their students for internship, that we can also partner with them in the industry of textile and helping these young people to sprout and learning that ability to learn textile and taking it to another level of even producing their own products. And we also are showing you that the committees and the partnership is necessary.
Promoter is a message. Got to get the message. The message to our brothers and sisters.
Song that I play continuously about having our land, our culture, and having our community. We are more distorted than ever before. We don't have our land, our community. We don't even have our training institutes to prepare our young people for lifelong lessons in living. We don't have a way of life because we come away from our way of life and our customs and tradition. We must gain our way of life and our customs and traditions back by adopting our consumer science departmental training programs by incorporating those 9 pathways of learning back into the school district: nutrition, dietetics, family studies, child development, and looking at allied health profession, hospitality. All of these things are needed for our young people to learn a way of life. Now, I implore you that you teachers who are still in these capacities of home ec begin to start helping the advisory committees be established, because they must help you teachers to keep your job and to create a way for us to have more home ec teachers. Now, if you can't do that, then I'm looking at how we can offer homeschooling on Saturdays or in these homeschools where we can introduce home ec once again to the homeschool setting so we can better equip these young people for what it is they're going to do. In the olden days, the farmers didn't always send their people to school, but they equipped them for a way of life and prepared them for hard work. And some of the more brilliant, intelligent, and rich people come from the farmland because they learn how to use practicality and lifestyle. Our children are losing the art and skill of raising their own children, and the states and these courtrooms are taking the children away on a daily basis because they have no parenting skills and they don't know the first thing about parenting skills 101. Well, it isn't their fault. I think it was designed by nature to keep these programs out of the schoolhouse. Then we must create these programs during a Saturday school, and we must create these programs in our home schools. And that is where we have to implement this 9 strategy of implementing the 9 industries back into our homeschool. What good is it to have all of the 3 R's, reading, writing, arithmetic, when you don't know how to care for yourself or you don't have the first idea of how to nurture a child? It's very vital that we get serious about this, ladies and gentlemen, and serious about it to the point where we develop and build an industry of partnership, of teams. Now, there are young people that have been contacting me indicating that they would like for me to attend some of their meetings, and they're trying to do it on their own. We need to pitch in and help them so that they can have some support from a community that knows how to set up an advisory committee and knows what the responsibilities are for the advisory committee. We just don't want a lot of people sitting on a committee who are doing nothing, talking loud and saying nothing. We want to gain our technical career centers back. We want them to have more than just cosmetology. We want them to have all 9 of the industries going so that our young people can see that we're infusing training back into their technical career center. We want those hardware and wood shop and metal shop courses back in there for the young men. Now, those jobs have